Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
It's amazing how the goodness of God shows up in the middle of suffering. It's amazing. It's amazing. I just want to read to you a little bit from Job. Job, you know, was really incredible. But there's this part in the middle of his suffering. And you can put this, if you've never been, some of you have never suffered illness, but maybe you've had a loved one that has, and you've seen them suffer or suffered through that with them. My husband has suffered with me this week. There were times, well, when I would get up and walk, when I'd have to walk someplace, there were times that I would hear myself crying because I couldn't not cry because the pain was so intense. And I would apologize to him because I couldn't stand to hear me because it was so sad. He said, we've been married 47 years next month, and he's never heard me cry like that. And so I felt bad for him having to listen to that. So you can suffer with your loved one. And but even financial, you know, just other calamity and losses or family dynamics and things that cause your heart to suffer. Few people have escaped that at some level. Is there someone here that's never had or experienced or seen any suffering from somebody close? Yeah, see? It means we're part of the human race. That's reassuring in one way. But so we all experience, because we live in a fallen world, and how we think during that time is warfare. It is how we if are we going to give in to the enemy and the thoughts that want to come during that time, or are we going to listen and find the sweet spirit of the Lord in that place, in the pain? In chapter 19, he says, this is in the middle of his suffering. Job, if you're familiar with Job, he was the most righteous man in all the world, it says. God says that. The Father says that. That Job is. He does acknowledge that Job is the most righteous. And that he's a faithful servant. And Job was well respected in the community. He made sacrifices for his children just to make sure, cover them. He was really someone that you could look up to. But then things began to get challenged, and he was wealthy, and the Lord began to allow the enemy to test Job. And he began to, so he lost his flocks. He lost his, had many cattle and sheep, was it? Camels and sheep. And they were taken. His wealth was taken from him. All of his fields were taken. You know, the crop, lost all the crops, lost all of his workers. He lost his, he had seven daughters and seven sons. I'm checking with my and he lost them all. They all died in one day, same day. And his wife wasn't so righteous. And she told Job, you need to curse God and die. There's a big temptation in his ear right there. So then you need to read through Job, because I'm not going to go into the whole story. But his three friends come. There's four, his three friends are older, and they do a lot of talking. But in the middle of Job's suffering, he says something really remarkable. And the first time I read this, I just like, oh my goodness, I want that walk. I want that walk, even though he was being tested and he was self-righteous in some ways. He was self-righteous because he was so good and he knew it. He kind of let that go to his head a little bit. In the end, he got real low quickly before the Lord. But right here, this is after he's lost everything. And he's now afflicted with boils. And now he's got the physical stuff. And it's serious. These boils are painful. And this is all over his body. And he's in great pain and suffering here. He's sitting on a heap of ashes with sackcloth this morning. Everybody's shaming him and looking down on him. He's lost all of his friends except for the four that are standing there. And he says this, "As for me, I know that my Redeemer lives." This is in verse 25 of 19. It goes, "As for me, I know that my Redeemer lives. And at the last, he will take his stand on the earth. Even after my skin is destroyed, yet from my flesh I shall see God." He knew he would stand before the Lord, even after. This is way in the Old Testament. "I shall see God, whom I myself shall behold, and whom my eyes will see, not another. My heart faints within me." So he's in the middle of having lost everything and even being seriously, severely afflicted in the physical. He knew God as Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals me. He knew him as many, all the names of God. Job had an amazing relationship with God. In the end, God directly appeared to him, talking to him. Like audibly talking to him. What does it take to get that kind of relationship? What do we do? What do we think in the middle of our trials and suffering? What do we think about God right there? Is everything. At that point, Job had no promise of ever being restored anything. He was actually probably expecting death at that point. He was certainly wishing it. He said so. At that point, he did not expect anything from God. He wanted answers. He was demanding answers. But he didn't expect to be restored. And God ended up restoring him twice. Right? Twice everything he got. Everything he had. So he ended up being more wealthy. And had more children. And everything was beyond restored. But that little three verses right there in the middle of his suffering. And he's still looking at God like his heart faints within him. Just the thought of seeing God. Can we say that? Can we say that in the middle of our worst suffering or even the minor trials that we go through from day to day or week to week? Can we say that? Can we have an awe of God that just the looking at the promised hope of seeing him someday, that we would think our heart would grow faint with it, like that kind of wow. Do we have that? I want that. I hope you want it, because that Job did not curse God like his wife suggested. Now, how she lived through that whole thing, I don't know. She somehow got by without and Job kept her. But that's pretty incredible. But hopefully she learned from the example of her husband. So, how we think in our trials, how we think about God. In Habakkuk, I'm going to be mostly in the Old Testament here tonight, but in Habakkuk, it's kind of a hard one to say. Habakkuk is prophesying the end of Judah being overthrown. And he loves his people. Habakkuk is a tender-hearted prophet, and he loves God's people. And he hates having to prophesy and see the things that God's telling him is going to happen are like tearing his heart up. He's sad and having a hard time, and he's wrestling with God having to do this. But he goes, I just want to read Habakkuk 1, the first three verses to you. It says, "How long, O Lord, will I call for help, and you will not hear? I cry out to you, violence, yet you do not save. Why do you make me see iniquity and cause me to look on wickedness? Yes, destruction and violence are before me. Strife exists and contention arises. The law is ignored and justice is never upheld, for the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, justice comes out perverted." You think that applies to our time? There's a lot of that right now, not just in America, all over the earth. Justice is perverted. Wickedness everywhere. And he's saying, how long do I have to look, God? How long? Because God's showing him things and he doesn't want to see. And then the Lord's answer, he goes, look among... So this is the part we don't understand. We cannot comprehend the mind of Christ. He goes, look among the nations, observe and be astonished and wonder, because I am doing something in your days. You would not believe it if you were told. I think the same thing probably applies right now. We think, because all these bad things are happening, that God's gone somewhere. He's out to lunch or something, right? The opposite is true. God is doing things that we don't understand. But he tells us to be astonished and wonder. That's a confidence in him. It's an awe in him. It's a trust in him to do those things, even what looks like chaos and hopelessness to us. That the Lord is doing something beyond our understanding, because he sees not just little Michiana, not just Indiana, not just America, he sees the world, and he sees the future. He's working for the greater good so that the most amount of people throughout the world and past eternity. He's always worked in order to give the greatest opportunity to the greatest number of people to say yes to him. Sometimes it doesn't look like that to us. But those things, it says, He says on verse 6, for behold, I am raising up the Chaldeans, that fierce and impetuous people who march through the earth to seize dwelling places which are not theirs. They are dreaded and feared. Their justice and authority originate with themselves. then he goes on to say the rest of the bad things about the Chaldeans. But those are the people he's raising up to take Judah. He's using a wicked people to take Judah. Judah needs disciplined. They need corrected. And then Habakkuk is very perplexed. He goes, this is verse 12, are you not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We will not die. You, O Lord, have appointed them to judge, and you, O Rock, have established them to correct. Your eyes are too pure to approve evil, and you cannot look on wickedness with favor. Why do you look with favor on those who deal treacherously? Why are you silent when the wicked swallow up? So Habakkuk knows that God is good and he can't look on sin, but yet he's looking at, so I don't understand. You're telling me that you're using the wicked, but yet you can't look on wickedness. So he's just like us. There's nothing changed in the human mind because God is beyond our understanding. He has a kingdom perspective. We can't see the kingdom. You know, the Lord told me the other day, he said, Londa, everything you see in the kingdom and know about the kingdom in my word, from my word, and everything you see in the kingdom is true. It's true. If you see a demon, there's a demon there. If you see an angel, there's an angel there. If you see whatever you see, whatever you know, whatever stated here is true. But on earth, in your realm, in the natural realm, what you see is truth laced with deception. We have an enemy that loves to deceive. And our carnal minds have trouble comprehending the complexity of God. So Habakkuk was having that same wrestle, right? But God, you're so good and all this, but yet you're letting these people take over. Jesus answered him again. In chapter 2, verse 4, he goes, Behold, as for the proud one, is his soul not within him? Thanks, babe, that's better. He said, for the proud one, for the prideful, the sinful people, is not their soul, his soul is not right within him. But the righteous will live by his faith. So the righteous means right standing with God, right? Jesus Christ has, if you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ and you've accepted him as Lord and Savior, he has established you as righteous before the eyes of God. God, the Father, sees you through the blood of Jesus. You're cleansed and made right standing with him in that way, right? But to think righteously takes mind renewal. Just because we are in the spirit, which is truth, in the natural, it's laced with deception. So our mind wrestles with the truth of the spirit, of what's in the spirit. We know it because the Bible tells us, but we don't feel righteous all the time. And we struggle with understanding and wisdom about who God is and his intentions towards us, especially in struggles, especially in the heart. And the harder the struggle, the more it's going to mess with our thinking. We want to think we know and figure it out. We want to have it all figured out. because that feels safe and comfortable. It does not feel safe and comfortable to rely on for the righteous to live by faith. Faith is believing for that which you do not see. That doesn't feel comfortable to us. We want to know what's going to happen. That way I can figure out how to be. Right? The Lord's like, no, faith is trusting in me. Trusting in me to get you there. Not your own efforts. You know why that is? Because we're his children. And children are led by the parent. Children are taught by the parents. If you have good, you know, in a godly home, the father and mother nurture and care for their children and raise them up to be amazing people. So God the Father is no different. We're his children. And if we saw everything that was coming and we figured it all out and we acted accordingly, then it would not be his righteousness that got us there. It would be ours. And that's kind of where Job was thinking. He's a pretty good guy. God even agreed with him. But he was self-righteous. Even though he had this amazing relationship that had leaked in there somehow. Be aware of your thought life. You know, I talk about this a lot because that's where God has me. It's important. What if we were in Charlottesville right now? What if we lived there and that was going on? It could come here. That kind of racial violence. What would we do if that was against us? Or against those we love? What would we think right there? Those are difficult struggles. You can get killed in those places, right? Especially if you start standing up and speaking against it. But how are we going to be there? It's going to be according to what we believe about God and who we are, who he says we are as his children. Righteous will live by faith. It goes on to talk about God and how amazing he is in verse 14. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In verse 20, in chapter 2, it says, but the Lord in his holy temple, let all the earth be silent before him. That's an awe. Silent before the God, before the Lord. I think that it will be all we can do when we're there. That first time that we behold him. In chapter 3, it says, in verse 3, in Habakkuk, it says, God comes from Teman and the Holy One from Mount Paran. His splendor covers the heavens and the earth is full of his praise. His radiance is like the sunlight and his rays flashing from his hands. And there is in the hiding of his power. His ways are everlasting. So that God, when we start developing a fear of the Lord, an awe of him, a trust, fear of the Lord encompasses reverential trust. It's obedient, demands obedience, and it is awe. It's a love. When we go there with him, and we see his majesty. And you go before the throne. Everything in you that is not awe is ripped away. Because he's so amazing. He's so amazing. So beautiful, so incredible. I want to challenge you about your thinking in difficult places. Really difficult. I mean, it gets a dark world and things can get pretty dark. Somebody brought this to my attention the other day in Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas were in prison. I've never been there, but one of the prisons they had, I mean, theirs was like a dungeon type. I mean, no frills. I went to, when I was in Germany, just a couple months ago, we saw an old castle, and one of the original parts of the castle that was still there was the prison, and it had, so they had this hole dug in the ground, and it was like a deep hole, and it was, I don't know, maybe as wide as this front row of chairs right here, or a little less wide, maybe 15 feet. I don't know, 10 feet. And I'm not good with that. I need my engineer husband, but he wasn't there, so he can't tell me. Anyway, it was a perfectly round, just a straight down hole, and it had bars so that people could see in. And they told us that they used to have 20 to 25 people in that hole at a time. And they left them there till they died. No food or water, nothing. Very few people survived that. So I doubt Paul and Silas were in quite that kind of a condition, but it wasn't what we have now. That would be considered inhumane. They were chained with chains and shackles. And you know what they were doing? But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. They're in shackles and a dark, dark place, stinky, probably no bathroom facilities. Nobody's taken a bath for years, probably months. Blah. And they're singing and praising God because in their minds, they weren't in prison. They didn't think like a prisoner. They thought as free men. So how you think in whatever little prison you're going through, whatever trial you're going through, they got broke out, by the way, during that. Angels came and got them out. But they didn't have that mindset. They didn't think in hopelessness and despair because they knew the one and loved and had an awe of God that it didn't matter their circumstance. So I want to challenge you. I want to challenge your thinking. I want to challenge you when you're faced trials, when things hit you out of the blue you're not expecting. So I'll just, this last thing I want to share with you is during this time, it's been very strange. I spoke, well, I had a ongoing class here that I did. So I did the third class here last Wednesday night. Then on Saturday, I had a women's retreat that I spoke at for 4 hours. And then I'm speaking here tonight. And that, so the challenge for me is, it's been so physically taxing. And when the physical is attacked, it's a bit emotional. And what do I think? How am I going to be able, God, how am I going to be able to teach and share your word and get your heart across? How am I going to do that without drawing attention? Because I've had the Wednesday night, I had to sit. I was still getting fairly high spikes, not the 9-10 stuff, but... And then Saturday, I had to sit. I'm like, God, I want to stand tonight. I want to stand tonight. I don't want to sit. I'm wearing socks, that's okay. But I wanted to stand. So on Saturday, I wasn't sure I could do it at all because I wasn't feeling good because of all the medications. I'm not used to taking so many medications and the... physical and just the how horrible my poor toes look. They're really not pretty. And I saw him come. This is what he'll do for you in your trial. So I was praying and I'm like, God, I just give you the weariness, the despair, the fatigue, the pain, everything else I was feeling, I don't even remember. But I just kept releasing it all to him and all the benefits to carrying it. And I asked him what he wanted to give me in exchange, and he walked over to me, and he picked me up and helped me. Not as a little girl, but as a woman. He held me close to him, you know, like you see in the movies. And he said, I've got you, and I'll carry you. That's his promise to each one of you. If you give in to him, if you give up all the figuring it out and trying to, God, I believe in healing. Why isn't this being healed? Getting frustrated and angry at him. Instead of that, I'm like, God, I don't know why this isn't healed. Because I do believe you, and he knows I do. But I so trust him. And when he did that, when he picked me up and carried, like I felt him holding me, it's like that all went away. It all went away. And I felt comfort, peace. I felt strong emotionally, not physically. Physical didn't change. My circumstance didn't change. But in it, I was in a kingdom perspective, right? Let him give you a kingdom perspective in the middle of your trial, in the middle of your struggle, no matter how big or small it is. Because he has. He wants us to go higher. He wants us to see what he sees. He wants us to know that he's faithful, that he's true, that he's... So, I know this is a lot of scripture, but back to Habakkuk. Chapter 3, verse 17. This is what Habakkuk said at the very end, after all that God told him, all the terrible things that were going to happen to Judah. And Habakkuk was really wrestling with it, very struggling really hard with it, because it was so tragic. And he goes, though the fig tree should fall, I'm sorry, though the fig tree should not blossom and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there should be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exalt the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he has made my feet like hinds' feet. He makes me walk on my high places. Hinds' feet are like the feet of those nimble little goats and deers that can climb up the side of a cliff without effort. Habakkuk knew God would do that for him. So I'm wondering tonight, do you know God that way? Do you know his faithfulness to you that way? In the middle of the trial, it's easy when everything's going really good. That's easy. That's easy faith. But in the middle of a trial, a hard one, do you know him that way? That you can rejoice in knowing that he's faithful and good. He'll see you through that. He'll pick you up and he'll carry you through. That's awesome. So tonight, do we have keyboard people here? Anybody? Michael's here? Where? So if we could have Michael come out or whoever's here that can play a keyboard, that would be nice. I just want you to be thinking, if any of you, we're going to pray for physical stuff tonight. And if you have struggle with knowing God that way, if you have doubts about God's love for you, his intentions towards you, believing that he's working all things out for good, eventual good for the whole, for the good of the whole. If you have God issues, we're gonna just cover those tonight. We're gonna pray. I feel like there's some of you that may feel lost and abandoned by God. I feel like there's some that may be wrestling that whether or not God actually loves you or knows your name. I feel like you the struggle has gotten more than what you can bear. And there's some maybe fear going on or worry, depression, that kind of thing. We just want to lift those things up to the Lord. I also feel like there's somebody here that has struggle with... I know it's me as one of them, but with your feet. Does anybody here have a struggle with feet right there? And there, oh, look, okay, we got several. Thank you, Lord. I don't want to call my own out. So raise your hand if you have feet issues with your feet. Raise your hands high. And others of you just gather around. So stand up, those of you that have feet issues. And we're just going to invite people to come around you. Healing team members, can you spread out and come around? There's Mark over here on this side and Sandra. We want to just start praying for healing. If you're having God issue, like Father, sometimes we have trouble seeing and accepting God as Father. If you have troubles with that, relating to the Lord in those ways, I'd invite you to come on up here. Do you have any struggles with the Lord that you'd like to clear up? It would keep you from being at peace in your trial. Y'all are good. Next time that trial hits, it's going to be nothing. choose one? Are there more people that have some issues between you and the Lord that you'd like to clear up? This can be doubt, hopelessness, worry, fear, those kinds of things. This is a good opportunity for you to get free. That suffers from a past accident, that you've had an accident, I'd like you to come up here. A past accident that still troubles you in your body somewhere. Just one? Felt like there were more than that. Can be like football injuries, sports injuries, or a car. Thank you. testify. And we got another healing over here. Anybody else get some healing? Sandra, you want to come up here? You girl, you want to come up? You want to come up and share? We're just going to have some testimonies right now.
I've been dealing with a plate in my ankle from an accident 2 years ago, a year and a half ago. And the stiffness in my foot that's supposed to make up for the subtalar fusion has been really difficult and restricting. And I worked on a ladder today, and it was really bad. And as I walked in here tonight, I said, by the grace of God, I'm walking out without this pain. It's gone.
I have bone spurs into my heels that sometimes hurt excruciatingly. And it hurt a little bit today, not like it has, but Barb and Ash actually prayed for me, and the pain is completely gone. So praise God.
So sometimes when the Lord renews your thinking, he has to re-renew your thinking, and you have to write it down and like practice it and re-practice it, because it's a change, it's new. So I went to the teaching that Londa did about the exchange, the value exchange, this last couple weeks, and then in the middle of that, the Lord had me involved with using it for the first time with a couple that was struggling in their marriage. And I had always kind of apparently falsely thought that if you're walking for the Lord, or you know, doing a spiritual battle, that you expect attack from the evil one. And we really don't see that in Scripture. We see that we go through trials, but God used those trials to transform us when we give them to Him. And so this morning, I woke up actually in the middle of the night and had numbness all the way down my leg to my foot, and I don't have sciatica. So I thought, well, that's weird, must be attack. And so I asked for prayer and broke agreement with the belief that we expect this the enemy to attack us. Yes, we walk in spiritual warfare, but we use those trials for God's glory. And I broke agreement with the expectation that I have to be on guard, and I believed I had to be on guard, and that's where my thinking really was transformed, like, God is my guard. So I broke agreement with having to, like, protect myself, and because God is he gives us a shield of faith, and we can depend on that, and there's peace in that we can walk in. And when Londa prayed for me, that numbness is completely gone from my foot. And I just, but it's more what's in my mind that I'm rejoicing about than my foot.
So that's a common belief, that if you do something spiritual, you're going to get attacked. And then we set ourselves up for an expectation of being attacked all the time. And goodness, if I lived in that place, I would be a mess, because I'd always be attacked and I'd always be battling. Well, that belief will keep you always wrestling with the enemy, because the enemy will act according to your belief. So if you have the expectation of attack, you're actually inviting it. And I can't find one place in the Scriptures, from the apostles, the disciples, to Jesus, that ever talks about, you now be on guard, you might get attacked if you do something good for the kingdom. So if you can't find it in the Scriptures, be careful what you believe, because that's our plumb line, right? There's freedom in Christ. His power to protect is greater than the enemy. I don't even worry about the enemy. I don't even see this as an attack. I'm not giving him that credit. I really don't see it. It's a trial. And God says we will have trial. The Bible says we will have trials. So I just want to throw that out there. If you believe it differently, that's fine. But as you can see, she got healing. And I don't know that the Lord would have healed that if it weren't true. that switch in belief. So there's freedom in Christ, victory and power, and we need to walk on that and focus on that rather than what the enemy might do or can do, right? So thank you for coming out. I want to pray for you guys. Lord, I just bless this mighty group of people. God, I thank you that you are faithfully good. You're faithfully good, God. Faithful, good. Even in our trials, Jesus, you're faithfully good. We love you. I ask that you go with each person here and you just continue to open up your kingdom mindset, your kingdom thinking. How they think about you is everything. I pray that you would open their minds to the more, that you would open their minds to see you in your glory, that you would give them dreams and visions, that you would set them on high, that they would know that they're seated with Christ in the heavenly places. God, that they would know that you are covered, you are their shield. And God, I ask that you help us to love. Love is the greatest act of humility there is. It's laying down selfishness in order to devote myself to the well-being of another. God, help us to lay down our selfishness that we might love well. This world would be a different place if we loved well. Help us as a church, God, that we would model that love in the face of all the wickedness going on. Thank you, God. We love you. And I bless each person here. It's more. In Jesus' name.